Good evening. It's Meldon Law Monday. This is a Monday when a lot of stuff is going on. In just a second, we'll have Shane Matthews from the Orange and Blue Room standing by. Also tonight, David Whitley will join us in Fransbury. Lots of news about the Gator football team. You know what's going on, and we'll talk about that with Shane after this timeout. We're getting right to the heart of it. The Buddy Martin Show is on the air. Tell your friends and neighbors.
It's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind because he's doing the best he can.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
Hey, what if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
These experiences and we make the most of each opportunity, and certainly that's what we're going to do. So turning the page, you know, Jimbo's got a really good team at A&M, very talented group, you know, personnel, rosters deep, and certainly height, length, verified speed, not many chinks in the armor when you just look at the matchup personnel-wise. And I know it's been a little bit of a revolving door at quarterback, but he played really well. The rookie played well this past week. And certainly, you know, when you go play here at their place, there's a lot of challenges that go with that. So we're going to need to be at our best, and we're going to need to have a really good week here. So what questions we got here?
Coach, obviously, you've had a lot of history with coaches that you face this season. Jimbo's another one. Can you just talk about your guys' past and interviewing with him at Fort State? Just your time there.
All right, we'll leave it right there. We'll leave it there. We're going to come back and get the bite. Him talking about the dismissal of a starter on his team. Let's go right to Shane Matthews on Meldon Law Monday and talk about Brenton Cox. And we'll get that bite later. News today that Brenton Cox has been dismissed from the team. It's been kind of a tough day all the way around today, Shane. Brent Cox booted. Then they hear that that Keon Zipper is lost for the year. And then later in the day, in that morning, the member of the media was calling a hot mic, saying some things about his relationship with Billy Napier and about how he'd be around a lot longer than Billy. I'm not going to get into that too much because, to me, it's irrelevant what the media says when they're talking to each other. It's not a major deal, but good evening to you, Shane, and you heard the news. What's your take on it?
It doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, I know a lot of people read a lot of things into this, but Brenton Cox, I don't know what kind of teammate he was, but you could tell he was somewhat of an individualist. You know, he was talking about he was going to break the sack record this year. He's got two more sacks than me and you, buddy, this year. So it's no big deal, quite honestly. I think you'll see 20 to 25 kids leave the program when the season's over, which is going to be a good thing. And it is what it is. Move forward.
Explain why it's a good thing. I know we talked about this some last week, and I realize attrition is a factor, real-life factor, but explain there what you mean.
Well, some guys just are cancers in the locker room, and this was just not one incident. This is stuff that happened throughout the course of the year, and Billy and whoever else made a decision. It was time for him to go, and it is what it is. Everybody thought he was going to be a really good player. He's had flashes here and there, but quite honestly, if you look at it, he's done nothing against top-notch competition. Most of his stuff was against the FAUs of the world, South Florida, and people like that. But I don't think it's not going to matter.
All right, let me read you just a little bit of his statement, which you made tonight on Twitter. And it's hard to see this, but we'll drill down and see what we can see of it. He's basically apologizing, but I guess he's first, I want to thank God for the blessings and the opportunities he's allowed me to experience throughout my life, and especially in my football career. I would not be the man today without the constant support of my family and the community of people that surround me. I also like to express my gratitude to the Florida Gators football program, fans, and teammates. The football program has helped me to be a productive and positive student athlete on and off the field. I will be forever grateful for that, being a part of this program, of having, anyway, you should get, yeah, being a part of the program, wear the number one jersey was an honor and a privilege. I find it hard to express my disappointment at being dismissed and so on. So obviously he's setting it up for the draft, and he even says later on he plans to come out for the draft. He wants to increase his stock. You made some allusions to some things that you knew about, but obviously can't talk about. I don't like to put things out there that I'm guessing on or say the scuttlebutt, but one reporter told me that he heard that there was a fight after the game. And I can't verify this. I'm reluctantly putting it out there, except he was kicked off the team for something. And he said that apparently he punched one of his own teammates in the locker room. Now, I can't tell you that for sure. That's what I was told by one reporter. That reporter didn't see it, so it's hard to really know, but they were told by somebody else. So, and the other thing was that Fran said today that this was not just one thing. It was accumulation of things over the season with Brenton Cox. So that's what you said. So that verifies what you said.
Yeah, I've heard the same stuff you have, and I have no concrete evidence on any of it. I just, by watching the way he plays and acts, you know that there was more stuff involved. You know, doing his own thing. I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did. I wish him well. I don't think he can play at that next level. Maybe he proves us wrong. But hopefully he gets an opportunity, and we'll see what happens. I've never understood the whole thing about wearing number one. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me.
Well, you're not a number guy. You believe traditional numbers.
Right.
I get it. That's all right. I do too. But
wear your own number. Number one does not mean anything. That's what I mean. It blows me away. But anyway, that's another show.
Yeah. Andy says, Shane, is it possible the defense could be improved without Brenton Cox?
Good. Maybe those guys that are playing at that position now do what they're coached to do and don't try to take themselves out of plays by not doing their responsibility or their assignment. We'll see.
Yeah, I've heard the names of the replacements. I don't have the chart in front of me. I remember some guys who were going to appreciate their opportunities to play, and we'll see what they can do. And like I say, you don't know what they're going to do until they get in there. So I'll try to dig out those names. Lloyd Summerall was one.
Here's the thing, buddy. I mean, like I just said, I wish Brenton Cox a lot of success wherever he goes, whatever he does, but we're not losing a big-time player. You know, I mean, two sacks in seven games or eight games. That ain't very money.
Yeah. Gregory and Jalen say he's been selfish and lazy, takes home plays off. When he wants to, he's too glad he's gone. Better than last season. Kirby didn't put up with that crap. No, yeah, he did leave. Whatever the reasons were. I'm not going to trash the guy because I don't know the real facts, but it appears as though there were problems quite some time, as Fran said. And we'll have a story on it tomorrow morning, Gator Bait, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on your show. And I just want to say a couple of things about this. This whole situation. And I don't want to get into the media drama, but there was an incident today, and I'm not going to get into the criticizing other media people because everybody has their own. But also wanted to say I hope people understand the role of the legitimate media, what their job is. I'm going to talk about some guy with 25 followers on Twitter. I'm sorry. The real trained journalists. You don't have to like them. But by the way, you don't get to say who covers the team. There's some fans who say, we want them off. We don't want that guy to cover it. You don't get to say that. Their bosses say it, and they're the ones who choose it. And sometimes it's a rough road out there for journalists because they have to press for answers. and they don't always get truthful answers, and it gets frustrating. This was the case. I'll just leave it with this, Shane, and we'll go on to the next thing. What happened today, there was a hot microphone, and after the break, I didn't hear it. I heard the repeat of it. And there were a couple of reporters talking. One reporter said, basically, F Billy Napier, I'll be here a long time after he's gone, etc., because he was rebuffed and trying to get answers, and obviously he was frustrated, and he didn't know it was being broadcast. Look, I'd hate to have a microphone in my office for people to hear. You would, too, when we're talking, we're venting, whatever, for the public to hear, because the things we say and the things these guys on Twitter say, how about some of those things? So I don't have a dog in it, huh? I'm not taking up for anybody here saying one's right and one's wrong. But if you think because you are a fan and you have a Twitter account, you can dictate who covers a team, you got a lot to learn, pal. That's all I'm going to say about that, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how all that media stuff works, but
well, I do. I know how it works,
and you know, I know you do, buddy. And I know media guys, they want to get answers, but Billy Napier owes nobody an explanation of why he did what he did. It's his team, right?
Yeah, but he has to have some accountability for his, you know, the truthfulness and the direct way when he answers or doesn't answer a question.
Well, I mean, people have to be somewhat, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, respectful. Have some common sense. Obviously, you don't just kick somebody off the team for just kicking them off. There's a reason.
Yeah, but I will say that by the same token, that if you listen to the press conference, and I did, and I followed it, I listened to the questions, and I'm not taking a side here. I'm just saying that that when you avoid the question and you don't answer the question, don't think real journalists are going to go away, because they're not. They're always going to be there asking, because that's their job. And when you cannot, I understand when some things you can't say, but when you use the phrase, and by the way, Urban Meyer used this all the time, and I hated it then, and I hate it now. We're going to keep that in-house, okay? Well, then you're open to subjection and gossip and whatever from anybody. It's fair game, because you're keeping it, quote, in-house. I mean, you know, this is a starting guy who was kicked off the team for a reason. We found out some of those reasons, but and Billy chose not to address him. That's, in my mind, rookie mistake. An opinion that he needs to at least address that something happened. If he doesn't want to tell us how it happened and what it was, okay. But you can't act like it didn't happen, because that's less than truthful. And when you start getting less than truthful, well, you've opened the door now for troubles. So, and I'm a Billy guy, as you know. I like him. I think he's done a really, and I wrote a column about him on the weekend saying, he's the guy. Stop getting him. You know, he's got a bump in the road right now. He's got a problem, and what have you. But I will say that's the thing he's going to learn in this media, in this world. And I've seen a lot of coaches try to get past that, and none of them ever did. Every one of them lost.
Do you know a head coach that when they had an issue like this, kicked a kid off a team, they actually came out and said it? What happened?
Yeah, who they said that they gave a name to it. They said that it was either he broke the train or the rules, or there was whatever they, you know. I know coaches who've addressed it. They didn't address it in detail and said, "Let me tell you what happened in the locker room. I'll tell you blow by blow." But neither can you act like it didn't happen. That's my point.
Well, he's not. I don't think he's not acting like he didn't happen. He just said that.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say it was a one-time incident, did he? I think he said it was a multiple things.
Let me just reframe this a little bit. I'm not here castigating Billy for any particular reason. I'm talking about historical perspective. I've seen a lot of coaches come and go. I've been to a lot of press conferences. And I've seen guys try to duck it. Muschamp was one of them. You know, I've seen McElwain. Guys try to duck and whatever. Spurrier had just as many problems, and he didn't tell everything, but he was forthcoming. He at least gave an indication that we had a discipline problem. We took the guy off. He hit a woman. We kicked him off the team. What if he didn't want to say that? He told it truthfully. And when you're dealing with guys at Spurrier and they tell you pretty much what went on, and you have a guy who kind of says, I'm going to keep it in house, which Urban did, and I hated that about Urban. You can't keep everything in-house because this is a big program. This is a big media with a lot of people who know things. And if you try to cover it up, what happens? What happened in Watergate? They tried to cover it up. So you got to be careful and judicious. This is something Billy should learn from, because there's going to be some rankling. There's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some bad blood now created with the media, which he doesn't need right now. And I'm just saying in my experience, and I'm not taking anybody's side here. I'm not really taking the reporter's side. I'm talking about the fact of this is how it is with coaches. I've been around my entire life for over 60 years. I love them to death, all right? I love them. But there are some things you got to understand. You don't bullshit your way through with the media. You just don't, because you'll get bitten by it. In the end, every one of them has. That's just the facts. Okay, that's what I want to say. You can react if you want to. So. All right.
Well,
so,
I mean, I have no experience in it. So, I mean, I just, what I read into it is the guy's been doing a lot of things he shouldn't have been
doing. And that may be true, but he didn't tell us that. So we don't know. So here we are guessing because we don't have any idea. And that's fine. And I'll tell you something else, Shane, right or wrong, in the old days, there were some trustworthy guys who covered the team where coaches mm-hmm. could confide in those trustworthy guys. And say, I don't want you writing this, but here's what went on. I appreciate it. And most times it was honored. You can't keep anything quiet anymore today because of social media. I'm just mm-hmm. saying, that's the fact. So anyway, I don't get lost on that. I want to get back to the game this week, what's happened, the news stories, the Auburn situation, you know, the stories of the usual suspects being considered. And let me do this real fast. Can I just take a quick break and do the Jeffrey Melvin spot? And sure. We'll come right back to you, all right?
Sure.
Jeffrey Melvin's here, and there's something called the Great Southern Music Hall. I've always wanted to know more about it. I hear there's a place we can go and find out now, Jeffrey.
Yes. We opened up an exhibit that's a retrospective of the Great Southern Music Hall from the years 1974 to 1978. Myself and Jim Forsman founded the Great Southern Music Hall, which was in the former Florida Theater building in Gainesville, right on University Avenue. And during those 4.5 years, we had an incredible lineup of huge acts, you know, certainly, you know, Ray Charles, Steve Martin, Ike and Tina Turner, to name a few, are all celebrated at this exhibit that was centered around the photographs of John Moran, who's a famous photographer from Gainesville, known all over the country for his incredible outdoor work. In 1974, I gave John his first job as the house photographer at the Great Southern Music Hall, and the rest is history. We put together a retrospective based on John's work as well as other sources that we had, and it is a knockout. The museum's been jammed ever since the opening 10 days ago, and we want to invite everybody to come and see the Great Southern Music Hall exhibit at the Matheson Museum at 519 East University Avenue, Gainesville, Florida, right next to the main library, and I promise you it'll be a blast.
All right, thanks very much, Jeffrey. Appreciate that. Great Southern Music Hall. And thanks to Jeffrey for all he does as a sponsor of all the things diversified. Check out his Facebook page, Melvin Law, the giveaway tickets all the time. You can be a beneficiary of that. All right, on to the next thing. Here we are. Got a couple of teams that things have not gone like we expected. Both of them are only won, two games in the SEC, whatever it is. And they got 1-4 overalls, whatever it was. I don't know. I heard Jimbo's press conference today. He didn't talk too much about losing. He talked about the things he liked and what have you. And yet, as we speak, we know as difficult as things are right now for Billy Napier, they're worse for a guy making $85 million right now on the rest of his contract. And I don't know what will happen, but both teams desperately need a win for this game on Saturday, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question what's going on at A&M is a nightmare for them with all the money and resources they put into their program. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, I've never been to a game at Kyle Field. they usually have tremendous support over 100,000, but with an 11 a.m. kickoff at 3 and 5, how many people are going to show up? But both teams desperately need a win, so we shall see.
Now, the rookie quarterback, I watched him. I think he threw for 4 touchdown passes. He's Connor Wayman, I guess. Against Ole Miss, he did that, I guess. And so now he's made an impression on Jimbo, and he's going to be his guy. So, boy, the quarterback whisperer is having a hard time finding somebody to whisper to.
Yeah, they've had serious issues there, and I just saw bits and pieces of this kid. But he does look like the better quarterback of anybody he's had since he's been at A&M. Time will tell. But I'm telling you, man, in today's world, if you don't have a guy that's consistent behind center, you ain't got a chance of winning.
And that's the truth. Really, really do. So, so we'll see. This game, this is such a strange season. I wrote a column over the weekend. I really liked the way the team played in the third quarter. And I like the fact that Anthony did what you said all the time. He's got to run the football, and he did that. And he just decided he wasn't going to worry about getting hurt. And he took off and began to run, and things happened in that third period. And I saw some fight in his team. And Billy saw some fight in his team. And he saw what he wanted to see, which is, are you going to compete? And they did compete. And, yeah, it didn't turn out great, but they had it down to a 1-score game in the third quarter. I saw that and I thought, it's okay. He's found what he needed right now. He needed some heart. He found it. He found some fight, some spunk, and he got it. You can build on those kind of things, Shane, as you know, if you get it going again. The question is, will they continue to have this? And what can Billy learn? If he gets to 6-6 or 7-5, he's got the bowl game, right? And he can coach him up and get through it. So give me your thoughts real quick on what he thinks he found in that game, and whether you agree with my statement.
Well, I mean, this team all year long hasn't quit. I mean, that's one thing. I think last year you saw a lot of guys that quit all the time. I mean, we are who we are, buddy. Nothing has changed my mind. Nothing has surprised me from before the season started. This is who I thought we would be. I figured we'd have trouble stopping people, and I knew we'd have trouble throwing the football. Is that going to change? It ain't going to change this year. We just have to deal with it, try to find ways to win games. And they're going to have a really good recruiting class. I know they lost the kid the other night, but you can only sign so many. You can't have everybody. And if we have anything, we need big defensive guys. Because I was on the field before the game, buddy, before the kids got dressed in the uniforms when they're walking around in their suits.
Yeah.
And those two teams are like night and day.
Really?
It ain't even close.
Yeah.
And we got manhandled on the offense and defensive line all night, and we've got to get those type of guys. And I still stick to my guns. It'll be year 3 when he has the roster the way he wants it.
So they got 4 left, all 4 winnable. How many will they win?
Well, all 4 are potential wins. All 4 are potential losses. That's what's mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. I would say that Vanderbilt and South Carolina are not good football teams. I have no idea how South Carolina was ranked the top 25, but I have no idea why the Gators were ranked 12th at one point. Those should be 2 wins, get us to 6-6. FSU's kind of a toss-up. This game this week coming up, I don't know what to expect. I mean, we're going on the road. A&M still has some really good players. They got the fastest player in America, A-Chain, and they got some really good wideouts. If this kid continues throwing the football like he's doing, who knows what they'll do. And defensively, I think they're pretty good too. I think the A&M's biggest issue has been quarterback. Their quarterback play has been horrible.
I agree. And Jimbo's made the wrong choices.
Again, yeah. You cannot win games if your guy cannot run an offense. You can't. You have 0 chance.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, Shane, tomorrow morning, who you got besides me I'm sorry, that's all you got. But
that's all I got tomorrow, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. I better get up early and study and be good for a change.
No. We got. I mean, like I said, it's crazy how fast the football season, only four regular season games.
Shane. Where did it go? My gosh, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. But who do you think wins between Georgia and Tennessee?
I like Tennessee.
Yeah, I've seen them both in person. I don't know how Tennessee's going to handle their interior linemen, though. I think Georgia's so much more physical at the line of scrimmage than Tennessee. We'll see. I mean, Hendon Hooker is outstanding, but it's going to be hard to win in Athens, I'll tell you that.
No doubt about it. I just think right now, I think Georgia will be – I don't know what the line is. I'm sure Georgia's favored.
Georgia's favored by like 11 points.
Yeah, I will take the 11 points. I'll put it down.
Well, that right there is very odd to me because Vegas don't just give away free money.
No, they don't. But I'm telling you, this Tennessee team is really good.
I still think their defense is terrible.
Could be, but if Georgia gets physical with them and just rams, you know, uses those tight ends and whatever, and Tennessee will give me. But Hooker is a terrific player. The wide receiver is fantastic. They make plays on defense. We'll see, but I'm going to take Tennessee. So I'm going to go with Tennessee in the points.
I think Georgia is going to beat them by about a touchdown, is my guess.
Did we have a wager last week? I've forgotten. I don't remember what it was.
On what?
Something we had to give it a point. I don't know what it was. Something, you know. You always forget when I beat you, but anyway, that's all right.
Well, I didn't bet against the – I mean, I didn't like Georgia.
No. I've forgotten what it was. We were wagering something, but – All right, Shainer, in the morning on this show called Pot Up with Matthews. This is a really good show, folks. I'm sure many of you see it. If you haven't, you need to. Facebook Live at 8 a.m. tomorrow. It's awful early. It's worth getting up for. Thanks, Shane.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
Good job. All right, Shane Matthews. And from Shane right over to our friend in the media. Let's see if he's there. Well, where did David Whitley go? Is there some? Oh, wait a minute. Here he is. He was hiding in the shadows, I think. Let's see if we can find him. Is that you, David?
It is.
How are you, my friend?
I tell you what, Shane sure looked more comfortable in his chair than I am in mine.
He always looks comfortable. He makes sure he stays totally relaxed. And well, I've been saving some for you because I didn't feel comfortable discussing it with people in non-media. They don't understand it. And you know the story I'm talking about. I don't want to make a big deal out of this. Because I don't like talking about my people in the media, and I don't like taking a position against them. And you know what I'm talking about with the reporter. I hadn't even given him a name yet. But the public is misinformed. First of all, they can't hear the questions. So they don't know what's said, and you can't pick them up on the replay. I tried to dig them out today, and didn't come out on the video. But basically, it was asked about what went on, and Billy gave the PG version, and ask about a fight at the end of the game. He said, I don't know about any fight, you know, whatever. So if what we're hearing is true, and I'm going to say, I don't know this to be true. I cannot verify it. But I heard it from a reporter who's pretty good, who's very good, that he heard it, because you couldn't be there, that there was a fight in the locker room after the game, and that Brent Cox punched a teammate. Now, that's the generic version. Billy would never get to that point, and I understand if he didn't want to say it. And as soon as he asked him about what went on, they said, well, we're going to keep it in-house. Well, I absolutely abhor that term. And I said to Shane earlier, and I'm going to stop talking and get your take on it, that, look, the coach has the right to say whatever he wants to or not say it, but there has to be some accountability, and when you start covering things up, it always bites you in the butt. Eventually, it bites you in the butt. I've never known a coach at Florida who could cover things up. Maybe Urban a little bit, but even Urban has moments where he had to go on the record and who get away with it. Spurrier didn't try to. He was just out there. He just told you what he could say. Yeah, he punched a woman. He's off the team, you know, whatever. When you start seeing keeping it in-house, what are you allowed to keep in-house? Here was a starter, you know, something happened. If you at least say an incident happened in the locker room, whatever. He first denied seeing a fight. after the game, but he didn't deny there was something on going on after in the locker. No one asked that question. So that happened, and one of the reporters who you know very well after got ticked off about it because he didn't get any responses. And when the mics are left on, he made a statement that I'm sure he regrets making. But hey, reporters have opinions like all you fans do. And sometimes they say things and they got them on a live mic. Basically saying, F Billy Napier, I'll be around here a long time after he's gone. And you know what? He probably will be. But it really set off some people. Fans got angry about it. Now it's being all over social media. A, did you hear about it? And B, what did you think?
You know, I didn't make it to the Q&A today. Had something come up. But and I regret it because this was the most news-making Q&A of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking myself. The first issue of Billy saying, you know, I read the transcript of where he said he didn't want to wear the fight. I presumed he was talking about what happened on the field, you know, when Cox took the swing at the guy and everybody saw that. Now, whether it was an actual punch or what, I mean, that's just a matter of interpretation, but he obviously was out of line after the guy scored a touchdown. The post game thing in the locker room, you know, that was news to me. It's the kind of thing that, as you said, some things are in house, some things you're better off getting out of house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to me, if he did do it, it doesn't make the program, doesn't make Napier look bad if he came out and said it makes Cox look bad. But I mean, it's not like this is a guy they've been building up and a Napier recruit and they have everything invested in and the guy went out and was arrested and you want to cover that up. I mean, if he slugged the guy and that was the last issue, I it's always amused me how they want people to be to follow the team and be captivated by it and you know, but only if it's good and it's this. If anything doesn't go right, fans have no right to know, you know, what goes on. Suddenly it's in-house. Yeah, I mean certainly yeah, it's not all black and white. Some things should remain in-house if they're personal issues and stuff like that. And I'm just throwing this out, if a kid had emotional problems and he just couldn't deal with something and he had to quit, something like that. But if it's something like this, where a blatant thing where, and again, I don't know if it happened, but I don't doubt that it did, that if he did slug a teammate, I mean, that, and let's face it, were any of us really surprised at today's news, you know, that Brenton Cox didn't, you know, got kicked off the team? Now, if you had to make me name one guy who I think would be the main candidate for that thing, and if there was a kicked off the team pool, he would have been my number one choice. You know, he came in with sort of a reputation, whether it's fair or not. You know, a transfer has a reputation of being, you know, maybe a locker room a malcontent kind of thing. I mean, he kept his. I mean, I won't say I'm plugged in enough to know he was causing trouble in the locker room, but obviously, reading between the lines today, you know, this wasn't the first instance. You know, he said as words, Billy, a cumulative effect. And so obviously things were building up and this was today or whatever happened Saturday was the final straw. So, you know, had this been Anthony Richardson or somebody, you know, you throw back, but the fact that it was Brenton Cox, you know, I just said, well, you know, I wish we'd had a pool where we put our money on who would be the first guy who gets kicked off the team. Cause he would have been the guy I'd had my money on.
Yeah.
But you know, the whole, and this is not the kind of thing I think you keep in house. And you're right. You know, Spurrier, there was no house with him. And was he harmed at all by any of this? You know, when he did come out and say, guy did that? No, yeah. He wasn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think Billy would have been harmed by saying, yes, you know, I'm assuming that it happened. I don't know. But if it did happen, since it says yes, you know, he slugged the guy.
Yeah.
And we can't. And that's not something we put up with here.
Yeah.
Now, he wants to protect Cox, but it's some, you know.
Well, whatever, yeah. But you can't get too overprotective start not telling the truth and just borderline. Real quick, and Fran Spirit standing by, he has a little fresh information we'll get from him. But here was the transcript. They asked about Brenton Cox. He talked around the question. There's certain expectations and standards. Brenton's here in his third year. He's done a lot of good things with Florida. Sometimes you make decisions in the best interest of the team. Brenton, we're going to do everything we can to help him in his transition, et cetera, et cetera. And then it was asked specifically, did he throw a punch at the end of that game? At the end of that game, remember, against Georgia. Billy Napier, not that I'm aware of. Okay, he might have been right about that, but that wasn't the issue, apparently. So what's the issue here, the reporter said. You're talking about just moving on. Like, what did he do and what he didn't do that prompted the decision? Napier says, I don't know that we would get specific relative to the blank, to what caused the decision. I think it's more of a cumulative effect here. We keep that in-house. So he dodged the question, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're okay with that? Well, we'll find out because it's going to come out eventually. So that was it. And then, of course, I think Franz also asked a question. And Franz has a theory that it is a cumulative effect. And Shane also thinks it was a question over the time, over the year, there were other problems. Anyway, yeah. David, I can't thank you enough real quick. Give me your 30-second scenario on this game against Texas A&M. Or one of those teams going to be able to win an SEC game again?
Inevitably. I don't think they have ties anymore. But, yeah, I mean, I think I heard what Shane said. I think that, you know, the A&M's big problem has been a quarterback, and it seems like they finally found somebody who at least they can build on.
Freshman, yeah.
And, yeah, and I can – they're 9.5 favorites. I can see it because, you know, there's a lot of talent over there. God knows, you know, they've had issues up and down the roster, mm-hmm. in-house and out-of-house, we all know about.
There you go.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think – I don't feel good about this game if I'm a Gator fan because they're due to have a decent game, and now that they have a quarterback that they can believe in, you know, it's going to be tough.
David Whitty, reading in the games of the Sun. Appreciate you, David. Have a good week.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
Things have certainly got a little out of hand lately when it comes to just buying our everyday necessities. Just look at gas, streaming services, and heck, even chicken wings. Well, there is one necessity that shouldn't cost a ton. Taking care of yourself and helping fix all the aches and pains in life, and the fine folks at Titan MRI agree. With costs a fraction of what you'd pay at a hospital, you'll not only save money, you'll be taken care of by staff with over 20 years experience. So when you need an MRI, call Titan first, and you can go where your doctors send their families. Now offering CAT scans. Things have certainly
Titan MRI, thank you very much, Jeff Cordoza. Now to the Orange and Blue Room, where the guy standing by with the story, he's had a busy day today, and now he joins us in the cleanup spot tonight, Franz Beard on the program. Francis, good evening to you.
Good evening, Bud Light.
Well, it's a lot going on. We talked several times today. We're not going to delve into the whole issue of the reporter squabble back and forth, because that's, you know, that's not what we do here, but it did happen. We talk about it, but let's get to your specific reporting and what you've written and said today already and what you've heard. We know that the deal was obviously Brenton Cox was removed from the team. Billy set it down gingerly, didn't say very much about it, kind of didn't want to answer the question. Use that urban phrase, keep it in the house, which quite frankly drives me crazy sometimes. But you said and you wrote, you thought this is a cumulative thing that's happened and the first wave of what we should call attrition. Explain.
Well, first and foremost, there have been issues with Brenton Cox all along. I can't get into specifics without maybe getting into who told me what, but
you're keeping it. You're going to keep it in house. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, and we have to take into account another thing, and that is there are laws now that prevent disclosure of certain things, and the student confidentiality laws are out there, unless it's like a blatant, like an arrest or something like that. I don't think coaches can go into specifics about things other than to say violated team rules or something like that. There was an accumulation of events. And from what I have been told by a couple people who I trust, at some point you have to weigh the best interests of the team, and that included getting rid of a toxic substance in the locker room. As I understand it, it was toxic in there. And I don't know if that is a long time thing or that it was toxic after the Georgia game. I'll just leave it at that. But right. there was something about it that wasn't good at all. And as a result, I think Billy decided, look, you know, do I tolerate this the rest of the year, or do I give these other guys who are going, who may be here next year, they may not be, judging by the numbers, but is it time to just cut it off and say, okay, we're going to go with the younger guys and play with them? You got to remember, against Georgia, Brenton Cox had two tackles. He had a quarterback hurry, and he got a hand on a pass. That was it. And again, a game like that, you got to have more than that from your best, from the guy that is your supposedly your best edge rusher. Particularly, Georgia threw the ball 38 times. How many times did the Gators? How many times did the Gators sack Stetson Bennett? I mean, goodness, you got to, you know how many sacks Florida had Saturday, buddy? Take a guess.
Two.
Zero.
Hmm.
I mean, they did not get to Stetson Bennett. In fact, the number of quarterback hurries were minimal. Absolutely minimal.
I thought he had a couple of carries he lost yardage on. Anyway, but maybe I'm wrong. You would know better than that.
Stetson Bennett Saturday, I'll tell you exactly what he did.
I trust you because you're better with figures than I am. I'm still trying to remember.
He had one carry for 2 yards in the game. So he got flushed out of the pocket once, and he gained two positive yards out of it.
Okay.
The point being is that Florida did not get any pressure on him. And quite frankly, you've got to have a better game than that out of your stud pass rusher. But, you know, I'm not trying to point one finger at Brenton, because other guys were there and they didn't play well either.
Yeah.
But if you add in the fact that your top guy did not play well, and maybe there were some issues in the locker room to go with it, maybe there were some on the field issues. I've told that there might have been one or two of those as well. In fact, I can all but assure you there was one or two of those. At some point in time, you have to make a decision. Is it worth it to keep going with this guy?
Yeah, it was just late in the season. It was odd with 4 games to go. It must have been something egregious. But we digress. I want to get back to another point, if I can, with you, friends. And good job by you reporting a story earlier today on Gator Bait. I wanted to say this has been an odd day because we've had a player kicked off. We had another player lost for the season, tight end, who's now Zipper is out for the rest of this year. We'll play next year. And we had a reporter who's getting lambasted for his questions, and he also his comments were aired, his feelings were aired over a live mic, which is unfortunate. And I want to say a couple of things here on the record as a media person, and I hope you'll help me. I want to get to this. We have a misconception about the media and their role, what they're supposed to be, and I want to say that we don't say media and expect us to all act alike. We're not alike. Franz and I have different opinions and thoughts and different ways of asking questions. We don't agree on a lot of things. So we make the comment, well, you media guys, no, that's not how we roll. That's not it. So get that off your mind right now. Oh, you media guys, we all do it differently. We don't agree on a lot of things. So just get that down. Remember, all right? So when someone says, Matt DeVos says, it's a team matter, not a media matter or fan matter. That's not true. You cannot be the coach of a big time football program and kick off your starter and say it's a family matter. I'm sorry, it's not. It's going to get out. Players, you heard about it. It's going to get out. Other players are going to talk about it. And when you try to manipulate that, and I've said this twice, 3 times tonight, it bites you in the ass. When you start covering up stuff, I like Billy. You know I'm a Billy guy. I think he's terrific, but he needs to be coached a little bit. You have to at least give them something. You have to say, look, we had an incident. He broke team rules. Something happened in the locker room. I don't want to discuss it. Fine. Don't tell us. That's okay. But don't act like it didn't happen. And that's what Billy did today. Kind of, oh, I don't know. I didn't hear about that. So then we get Alan McCall. Friends, you and I knew Urban Meyer as good as anybody, okay? He says, was Urban Meyer forthcoming about Aaron Hernandez, Carlos Dunlap, or wanting to spend more time with his family? No, he wasn't, and he paid for it. And he's paying for it today.
Yeah.
He's a hated man by many people who thinks he ripped off the University of Florida. When in reality, look at the trophy case. I don't think that exactly happened that way, but he's paying for it. And that's my point. You can stand up and you can say, none of your business, but you're going to pay for it. There have been presidential candidates who said, I'm not telling you guys anything. Come follow me. You won't find out. Well, they did find out, and they always find out, and you wound up. And finally, Jerry Frazier says, media gets mad because he didn't tell y'all. Wow. That's not necessarily true. Of course, you want to know, but you also can't almost semi-deny it. So the job of the media is not to make friends, not there to win fans over, if you tell you how great you are, whatever. It's to ask questions. You don't always and sometimes really get the answer you want, but you have to ask the question because that's your job. That's why Fran shows up every media and asks questions. And sometimes he gets great answers, and sometimes he gets non-answers. And as a reporter, friends, you know to go back and re-ask the question if it's important enough and you don't get a proper response.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, Billy's got his way of doing things, and I think it's something he'll grow into. Let's face it, he's got more people covering Florida every week than he had for probably for an entire year.
And that's a great point.
And Lafayette.
It's a great point.
And I think it's something that he'll grow into. He'll get coached up a little bit better. Nick Saban, I'll say this. Nick Saban, when he first came out, was thought to be a real jerk. And now he's loosened up a bit. He'll even joke around a little bit with reporters. Now he still gets snippety with them, particularly if he perceives it to be a dumb question. He will respond with his standard snotty answer to somebody he perceives asking a dumb question. But for the most part, Nick has grown into the role, and he's pretty good in a press conference, you got to admit. Now, nobody is as media savvy as the Pirate at Mississippi State. Without a doubt, the very best guy in the media room ever, you know. I love Mike Leach. Love his answers, everything like this. But not everybody is a Mike Leach either. Not everybody's a Spurrier. Spurrier was fabulous in answering questions. And Steve, as you know, was one of these people that if you didn't want to know the answer, you better not ask the question in the first place. Urban was a bit, he was tough to crack, you know. He was almost robotic in some respects with so many of his answers. But you got information out of him. Billy will grow into this, I believe. It wasn't a great day for him. But then again, I don't know everything that went on. Neither does anybody else except maybe got teammates, etc. like that. Other coaches, etc. And as you're right, buddy, at some point it will come out. And if in fact it was worse than anything we've heard, then by golly, we'll look back on this and say, well, Billy Napier defended his guy and didn't gut it out. And if it comes out that it's worse, it's far worse, you know, if Billy should have let it out, we'll find that out too. I know this, Brenton Cox came out today and said in a statement on Twitter, I'm shocked that I was dismissed from the team.
Well, there's a whole statement here he made, and it was really more of a mea culpa, explanation, apology. And he was setting himself up for the draft, obviously, because he knows it looks bad. And it's basically, you know, thank God, thank the University of Florida, whatever. Never said, I'm sorry. Of course, if he said, I'm sorry, that would mean he actually had to admit he did something. So, and again, I'm not going to fight with anybody anymore about this. I'm going to say this. This sounds like I'm blowing smoke on our behalf. But Franz and Buddy are pretty trustworthy guys. We've had the confidence of some really great coaches and people who've told us many things. We haven't printed everything we know, but we have to print what we think we know, because that wouldn't be honest by us. Be disingenuous. Why would we do it if we're not going to tell you what we know and think? But the idea that we all do this now people are mad at me now. They're all ripping me. Oh, you know what you're talking about. Family matter, blah, 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 blah. Well, come on, bring it. I don't care. I'm used to that. I've been doing it for 50 years, and I've taken slings and arrows all my life, and I'm certainly not going to be hurt by them now, so I don't care. But I just want to say, we have good intentions. We know there are other people in the media have different ways of doing things. We trust and rely on the guy who's the head man has to stand up there and take the bullets. That's his job. And by the way, the bullets never stop coming. And so if anybody, Franz, have you ever seen anybody there that could take the bullets except maybe Spurrier? Because nobody that I've seen, nobody has ever taken the bullets and won in that job from the media.
Spurrier is the only one I've seen that really could handle it. Steve was an absolute natural in front of the cameras.
And honest, and pretty much honest, too.
Probably the most honest coach I've ever had to deal with in any way. As I said before, with Steve, if you don't want the answer, do not, whatever you do under any circumstance, ask the question, because he's going to tell you what he thinks. You know, all the way down to free shoes you, and you can't spell citrus without a U and a T. Mm-hmm. He could get under people's skin. Still can, quite frankly, but that's Steve Spurrier for you. There is not a politically correct bone in his body. Billy, I have to wonder how much of this with Billy today had to do with confidentiality.
Well, you made the point. You made the right point.
I want to throw one other thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't as much confidentiality as far as the Records Act and everything like that. That's law.
Yeah.
As much as maybe he didn't want to expose a couple guys that maybe there was an incident in the locker room with it.
Whatever.
I don't know that answer.
I think you said it right, though. He will learn. And that's the point. The Billy you see today will be a different Billy in 4 years. He will learn this, whatever. Let's don't spend any more time on it, because I want to get people want to know about Auburn. I got a few thoughts on it. We also want to talk about Texas A&M. We're running out of time, and I know you got some things you want to talk about, including basketball, scrimmage coming up tomorrow night. So let's just say Auburn. Harsin is out. A lot of names being tossed out there. One I saw from Barrett's Lee today, Deion Sanders, Lane Kiffin, Matt Rhule, Hugh Freeze. I don't think that's going to happen in that group. I'd love to see Deion, but I don't think they'll hire him. And I think that probably Kiffin is – I know Kiffin is going to stay. I think he's happy where he is. Hugh Freeze has signed a new contract, 7 years, Liberty, whatever. Matt Rhule might be the most likely one in that bunch, but we're early on. And so – by the way, Auburn's paid roughly $37 million in head coach buyouts the past 687 days. That's $54,900 per day.
Let me tell you why I don't think they'd hire Matt Rhule. I think Deion is definitely going to be a candidate. I'll tell you why I don't think they'd hire Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule is going to be making $880,000 a month for the next 4 years, not to coach the Carolina Panthers. We could probably use him to invest in Gator Bait. We might be able to.
Come on, Matt, bring some of that money. We'll take that.
Yeah, but I don't think that, you know, I'll tell you why I don't think they would hire him because of that. Because a guy that's got that kind of money isn't going to be beholden to the Auburn Boosters. I think the Auburn Boosters mm-hmm. want to get somebody in there they think they can control. Deion would be the best fit, from my opinion. Matt Hayes thinks that Hugh Freeze would be, but Hugh just got an 8-year contract, yeah, which is basically is a lifetime deal at Liberty, a place that if he keeps his nose clean, he cannot get or will not be fired.
Why would he leave there? He shouldn't leave there. He's happy.
$5 million a year.
Yeah.
They built him a house on top of the mountain that overlooks the campus and everything like that. They got facilities that Vanderbilt would love to have and doesn't. Most ACC schools would love to have Liberty's facilities and don't have them. They got more money than they know what to do with there, and they'll give him anything he wants. They'll expand the stadium to 40-something thousand.
Yeah.
It's a great place for him to be. I don't think he's going to be there. Lane Kiffin ain't going anywhere, period. He's happy at Ole Miss. If he does go someplace else, it would be a place that he thinks he could win a national championship.
Yeah.
And he's not going to go be in the same state with Nick Saban, which is why I think Dion would probably eventually balk at that. So here's my pick. Okay, are you ready for who I think is going to be the next Auburn coach?
Yeah.
Kevin Steele.
Boy, I don't think so.
He's the guy that the boosters wanted
He's a defensive guy, man. I don't know. I don't know.
64 years old, which would be dumb on their part.
No, I don't think
so. But tell me when Auburn did something smart.
Well, that's true. I they were smart they'd hire Dion, but that's just not going to happen. They just aren't going to hire people.
I think Dion would turn them down. I think he'd listen.
He might.
I think he'd turn them.
Yeah, he might.
I think he would turn them down. And here's the appeal to Dion. He's going to bring his kid with him. And his kid is one hell of a quarterback talent.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders can flat out fling the football all over the place. I can think of about 7 or 8 SEC schools who would kill to have him this year.
Let's move on to this week's game. And by the way, the time is now set for the South Carolina game, November the 12th, 4 p.m., a kickoff in the Swamp. So you got that going on. Aggies opened a 3.5-point favorite over the visiting Gators. The over-under is 53.5. Gators will face a freshman quarterback, Kyle Field. He had a pretty good game, but not good enough on Saturday night. What's this game going to be about? And will Florida beat the Aggies? By the way, it's in southeast central Texas. I made a statement today to say it was in south Texas or west Texas. I was corrected. Southeast central Texas is where, of course, Brian and College Station are.
Well, here's what it's going to come down to. They're going to have to, Florida's going to have to run the football. Here's why I think it's important that Florida can. The Aggies gave up 390 yards to Ole Miss.
Wow.
390 to Ole Miss Saturday. Quinshon Judkins, who is the best freshman running back in the country, had 200 and something of them. Even the quarterback, Jackson Dart, had about 95. I think that's going to be the game plan for the Gators. And quite frankly, it needs to be the game plan in the next 2 or 3 ball games, because guess what? You run the football, guess what the clock does? It moves. And guess what that means the defense doesn't do? They're not on the field. So given the way our defense has played, I think that it's the perfect scenario for Florida, but the Gators are going to have to run the ball effectively to do it, and can they? I hope so.
They kind of forgot how to do it during their open date, apparently.
Well, Georgia crowded the line of scrimmage and basically dared Florida to beat them with the throwing game, and the Gators didn't get that on track until the third quarter. They got some running going in the third quarter as well, but give credit to Georgia. That was just a well schemed defense for
Florida. All right, you like Tennessee or Georgia, France?
I like Tennessee.
Me too. So
I'll tell you why. I think Tennessee can expose Georgia like Florida did in the third quarter, only to a greater deal. Florida exposed them. They're not that good. I've said that all along, and I'll say it right now. They're not that good, and Tennessee's going to improve. Here's an interesting thing, though, buddy. Think about this. If Alabama runs the table, they'll be what in the regular season? 11-1. Mm-hmm. Georgia runs the table, they're 12-0, or mm-hmm. and Tennessee would be 11-1, or if Tennessee wins. Right. So you could, there's the possibility, get this, you could have a possibility of 3 1-loss teams from the SEC.
But not all three would make it.
How do we know?
Well, because I'm pretty sure the winner of Ohio State Michigan is going to be in. For one, that would be one team.
Yeah, but then they, then you could have an upset.
Go ahead.
You could have an upset in the Big Ten championship game. Unlikely, but it's possible.
Are you all true? But you got Clemson sitting there unbeaten too.
Yeah, but Clemson's got to play at Notre Dame this week.
Yeah, they don't have a problem with them.
Could be.
A lot of a lot of could be's. This is November, and there are a lot of QBs. You're absolutely right. There are.
It's going to be interesting tomorrow to find out. Here's the thing I'm looking for tomorrow when they announce the college football poll. I think the SEC is going to have three of the top five teams. Mm-hmm. I think Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia are all going to be in the top five. Mm-hmm. I think Michigan and I think Clemson is going to drop down to number six, and I think Michigan and Ohio State will be in the top five as well. Mm-hmm. I think TCU will be number seven. Clemson hadn't played anybody, and let's face it, they really haven't. So I'm looking at this as tomorrow. The other thing I'm looking at is how are they going to treat the Pac-12? Are they going to give Oregon a top 10 spot? I don't think.
Well, they're 11 in Oregon right now. All of a sudden, they found Bo Nix. They're the hot team out of the Pac-12. We'll see. But I think I don't believe there will be but two SEC teams in there, and it'll be Georgia or Alabama and possibly Tennessee or whatever, or Georgia. But it'll be the winner of the SEC championship game in Tennessee, I think, if it's not Tennessee. Now, Tennessee wins, he loses. I don't know. There are a lot of combinations. Franz, we got about 60, 90 seconds. I want you to go out on basketball. You've been to practices a lot. I think we got one tomorrow night. I want you to – let's go out tonight talking about hoops, all right?
Orange and blue scrimmage tomorrow night. It's free at the O-Dome, so you can't let economics stand in your way. Got to go to the ball game, watch the Gators. I think you're going to be pleased with what you're seeing out of this team. You got a lot of moving parts. You got three big guys, 10 interchangeable parts that'll move around them, fast-paced. Better offense than what we've seen in years here, since Billy Donovan was here, in fact. Going to be fun to watch. I like Todd Golden a lot, like the way he approaches the game, like the way he teaches the game even better. Watch him practice. He really does know how to teach the game, and he lets his coaches coach, and I like that too. It's going to be fun to watch. Getting ready for the season opener, November 7th, which is a week from tonight, against Stony Brook. Okay, there. That's going to be one of these real nail biters that we're all waiting on, you know, against the powerful, you know, Stony Brook. I think they're are they the Sea Wolves? They may be the Sea Wolves. I don't know. Somebody may know, but off the top of my head, it's the Stony Brook Sea Wolves.
Okay. All right, Francis, and you writing your column for tonight, released tomorrow morning. For those of you wondering, Franz has a little different schedule with his thoughts. He's had some great stuff over the weekend with the ball game coverage, and he'll be bouncing around like a star, like he is around here soon. And we'll have more of Franz. A lot of you have not understood the situation with his column. The reality is that we have a new business model called not giving things away. We've gotten a lot of people who called us in Texas saying, hey, I used to get Francis' column. Now I'm not getting it. I'm subscribed to GatorBait. Guess what? You're not. We looked you up and you're not subscribed to it. Now, there have been a few problems along the way. We're working on that. Brendan Martin's done a great job. We're going to get that all fixed. We got big plans. We've got a big announcement coming up too, Francis. You know what it is. Big announcement. People are going to be thrilled with that. But we have got to have this as a business model. And we can't expect people to work for nothing forever. It's not very much. So we have to charge for our product. So if you're getting emails saying, I used to, you know, you're writing us saying, I used to get Francis Cullen, yeah, because he sent it to you free, and we can't pay Franz and have it sent out free all the time. But we want you to try it. Go on GetterBait. You can try it for a month, see if you like it. What is, I don't know, $9 a month or even less probably. Try it, see if you like it, and then sign up for the All Access, and that means you get everything we do all week long, our shows. You get the live coverage. If you subscribe just to the GetterBait magazine, that's one day. You don't get the rest of the stuff. You don't get the game coverage. You get the magazine, which is all it ever was supposed to be, friends. It was a magazine once a week, and now we got stuff all week. We got game coverage stuff. So you got to know we're trying to operate this as a business. And if you're mad at Franz, don't be mad at me. I'm the one who caused it, because we want to find some money to pay some people, including Franz. So that's what that's about. Thank you. Hope you understand it. Franz, have a great night. Enjoy the scrimmage tomorrow night. We'll talk to you. Thank you very much. Yeah. The Iron Duke. I want to just be sure and tell you folks about our sponsors tonight again. You mentioned Melda Law, of course, and it's a funny comment I'm making to Frank Franzi right now. He's trying to figure out where I wrote something about his show. And he wanted to know if it was on his site or not. So I just want to wrap this up saying thank you very much to all you folks who support this program and support GetterBait, because we're really trying hard. We've been in this business now 4 years almost, and we can't do it for charity. We got to be able to make some money to pay people who do this. So appreciate the ones who do support it. If you have any questions, we'll do the best we can. We only got two people to answer them. So thank you. I want to say something about Renstar, a really great group of people. they do some wonderful work in our community. They're a medical research company that gets all kind of information from our community and make sure the data goes to pharmaceutical companies to give you a better health and get better ways to treat you. They're a high-quality, patient-centered clinical research facility. They have cutting-edge clinical research trials right here in Ocala for many things that affect us, from Alzheimer's to psoriasis, arthritis, migraine, headaches, and so on. So that's what they've been doing. They do these medical trials all the time. They've been doing them since 1998. Been doing 700 of them, medical trials. And they participate in those research trials and continue to partner with prominent pharmaceutical and biomedical companies throughout the medical industry. So check them out. They're a good neighbor in Ocala. They also have a terrific company. Go to Renstar.net, find out what's going on there. You might want to get involved in one of the clinical trials. Renstar Medical Research, seeking tomorrow's answers to the health questions of today. With that, I'll put their logo up here and take Franz Beer's name down and say thank you to my friends over there at Renstar and for all you do. Check them out online, Renstar.net. Thank you to our guest tonight, Shane Matthews. I'll be on his show tomorrow morning. Don't forget, 8 o'clock. David Whitley from the Gainesville Sun and Franz Beard, the Iron Duke. And thanks to my team for doing a great job tonight, including Brendan Martin. Have a great night, folks. We'll see you tomorrow night. Same time, same station.